Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the AfriCast from a very rainy Johannesburg. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me, as always, is Clinton Matos.
That's me. Hello, everybody.
And Robin Lichetti.
Howdy.
How are you guys doing this week?
Cold, sad, confused. It's been very... 2021 is shaping up to be exactly the same as last year, so... Yeah.
And by that, I hope you mean confusing, nobody knows what's going on, and everything doesn't feel like it's based in reality anymore.
Yep. You, Robin?
Like the band from the 90s, Wait,
Wait, Wait. Right. Let's get into the news of the week. Some news stories that we want to highlight. I'm going to kick us off. Bolt, the ride-hailing service that is available in South Africa, this week announced that its Bolt woman-only offering would be expanded to a few more cities in South Africa. So Bolt woman-only allows women to request rides from women. This is in an effort to combat gender-based violence in South Africa. Just read you a quick statement from Gareth Taylor, the country manager for Bolt in South Africa. He said, "Women e-hailing drivers and passengers have the right to feel safe and be protected from any harm while working and moving around. And the women-only service, in combination with Bolt's many other safety features, provides this safety and protection." So the cities that it's available in is Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, Pietermaritzburg, Port Elizabeth, Mthatha, Polokwane, Thohoyandou, Mbombela, and Emalahleni. So if you're a woman in one of those cities, you can now request a ride from a woman. And if you're a man thinking you're going to be able to game this system, you won't be able to, because if a woman driver arrives at the pickup and discovers that you're a man, they're able to cancel the trip and they won't be penalized for it. Bolt also mentioned that it's allowing its women drivers to install Perspex security screens between the front and back seats. So that's really nice. It's actually really, really cool to see this from Bolt, especially this women-only feature. They did trial it last year in East London and Rustenburg, and obviously that trial went very well. And yeah, really, really good from Bolt. Thumbs up from us, and hopefully some other ride-sharing services in this country, who I won't name, will implement something similar in the future.
So I was thinking about that. Yeah. I was thinking, this is such a good idea. Why don't the other companies do it? And I know the answer, because if a big company like Uber did this, they'll need to admit that there's a gender and violence problem wherever they are and in the world and on their platform. So basically, I think they'll just open a big can of worms and they won't do it. Whereas in South Africa, with the South African company, I think gender-based violence is talked about more.
Well,
in a place
Bolt,
like America.
Bolt is an international company as well, and and Uber has acknowledged that there is a problem with gender-based violence in South Africa. But I do think that implementing something like this on a scale as big as Uber requires a bit more insights and stuff. I don't know. There's clearly processes that need to be covered from Uber's side.
And I think because in America, people will sue you for looking at them wrong.
Yeah.
People might want to sue Uber because of quote unquote, so ridiculous discrimination, even though it's not that. But
yeah,
people like to sue in America, and you can bankrupt somebody with a case that never goes anywhere. So
yeah.
That's well, I would definitely be advising all the women that I know to use Bolt. Instead, it's part of the reason why I'm not a big fan of Uber is the fact that your woman on the platform using the service is very sketchy, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, we covered this last year, and it's not just Uber, the ride-sharing service. I mean, Uber Eats drivers have been accused of harassment and gender-based violence and much worse things. Not that those things aren't bad, don't get me wrong, just kind of adding to that. But yeah, Bolt, I think that this is going to be my recommendation for a ride-sharing service moving forward. And I'm not being paid by Bolt to say this. They're not giving me any money. I wish they were, but they're not. So yeah, thumbs up, Bolt. Really, really well done. And Gareth Taylor and the team. Hope to see more like this in the future. Robin, what have you got for us?
Yeah, so news out of Facebook, or rather a report regarding Facebook. It comes from the New York Times, and they're saying that Facebook is working on a newsletter and other kind of associated tools that it wants to roll out to specifically for independent writers and journalists, which is a rather interesting move if it is true, purely for the fact that Facebook has long said that it's not a news publishing platform, but it has a news tab, and if it starts providing newsletter service, that really seems like a news publisher in my books. But I think that's perhaps another point for another day. I think what's important here, if it is being rolled out, it could be really good for publishers and journalists in general. We've seen during COVID-19 that media and publishers in particular have been hit really hard. A number of houses have closed down, a number of journalists have lost jobs. And as a result, a lot of them started to use newsletter services to try and create content and expand their reach. And as far as the report goes from the New York Times, this newsletter service will involve other elements such as including paid subscribers. And those kind of things could potentially be a nice revenue generator for content creators and your independent journalists and your independent writers.
And Facebook.
True. And I mean, Facebook don't do anything out of the goodness of their heart. They do something because they can also stand to earn a profit, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for now, this remains a report, but I think potentially newsletters could be a big thing moving forward. I know it sounds weird in the year 2021 that newsletters are really important, but Twitter, for example, they recently purchased a company that specializes in distributing newsletters. So Twitter could also be looking to head that avenue and potentially offer journalists and independent writers a chance to earn money on the side, to kind of complement their work.
Hopefully, just on that note, I'm not very happy with Twitter at the moment for reasons I won't get into. But if Twitter is doing something like that, I hope that its view is wider than just the US. Also with this regarding Facebook, that it's not just independent publishers in the US, because, hey, Facebook, you don't just work in the US. You're a global company these days. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see how this rolls out on a global scale, if it rolls out on a global scale at all.
Well, once again, we have to wait. Yeah. It feels like every time we discuss something like this, we're like, well, now we get to the fun part, waiting.
Yeah. What have you got for us, Clinton?
I got something a bit more, well, overtly positive. I can't say that because it's just outright capitalism. Anyway, the show WandaVision. It's very popular right now. It's only on Disney+. I won't get into the fact that you can't legally watch it in South Africa. I won't get into that. I will say that I have watched it, and in episode 3... In episode 3, they have a fake advert. So in all 3 episodes so far, I haven't watched episode 4 yet, even though it is out. Around the midpoint of the episode, they have a fake television advert. Because if you haven't seen any trailers or you know nothing about this show, it's basically a homage to the history of television. And it uses television tropes in service to the show. And part of that is these fake adverts. And one of these fake adverts was for a watch called the Strucker. Now, if you've watched all the Marvel movies, that might be a familiar name. That's because there's a character named Wolfgang von Strucker. He was part of Hydra. He's the reason why Wanda and her brother Pietro, who's now gone, the spoiler from a movie from like 10 years ago. So the watch is named after him. Why that is not clear. It's part of the kind of meta-ness of the show. And I bring this all up because you can actually buy that watch. All the items in the show's adverts are like spoofs. They're not real. So unlike everything else, this is a real watch you can buy. Now, it's only available in America, but you could import it if it was available. As soon as it went out, it sold out. It was sold only through Hot Topic, which is a weird retail partner, Marvel. I don't know why only them. And it was $20. Well, $19.90, it's about R300 afterwards. And it's not a luxury timepiece, as the advert kind of makes it out to be. It's kind of just a faux gold, you know, battery-operated thing. It says it's imported, but I'm sure that import is from China. And it doesn't look like a great watch, but it's just very odd that the Marvel showrunners, they created these fake products, and then they made some of them real. And I did say some, because it isn't just this watch. Also in episode 3, One of the characters, I won't say their name or anything because it's a bit of a spoiler, they are wearing a pendant of a sword. And that's also kind of a spoiler if you know about comics. There's S.H.I.E.L.D., which has been in the movies. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. either becomes an organization called S.W.O.R.D. or S.W.O.R.D. is a different organization. It's a pendant with a sword on it. And you can also buy that. And strangely, the pendant is still in stock for $12.90, which is... I had the conversion somewhere. Oh, it's 195 rand. So, yeah, it's just really weird. I thought I'd bring this up. If someone really wants this, both items are, like, small and light, so it wouldn't cost that much to bring it into the country. I just think it's really weird that they are they're making these things real and they're selling them through Hot Topic, which I didn't know still existed. But these are really cool. You should check out the story with everything we discussed in the podcast. We'll have links to everything. I wonder, and there was also a bit of backlash because the watch has the Hydra symbol on it. And that's problematic for reasons I won't get into, but that shouldn't be a huge issue. It's fictionalized. Anyway, check that out. It's really cool. I hope Disney Plus releases in South Africa at some point.
Yeah, me too. Right, let's get on to the meat and potatoes of this AfriCast. Unless you've been living under a rock this week, the names Wall Street Bets and GameStop should be well in the front of your mind. That's because this week those two names coalesced in one of the weirdest events I've seen. And that's saying something considering the year we just had. So, to give you a brief overview of what has happened, last year, when the pandemic struck, GameStop's shares started to decrease in price. If you don't know, GameStop is a gaming retailer in the US. And as it turns out, folks don't want to go into a physical store during a pandemic to buy games they could just as well buy online. So as a result, GameStop shares started to decrease. Some folks over on the subreddit Wall Street Bets noticed this, and they figured that, hey, you know what, this share price is going down, but it could go up again given that consoles are going to go on sale, etc., etc., etc. And this kind of bloomed this week when the share price for GameStop went up to, I think the highest was $492. A week ago, that share was worth $40. And
a bit of a difference.
Yeah, that's a bit of a massive difference. Now, this doesn't sound like anything bizarre. A stock price was very cheap. More people bought it, so now the stock price is up. This doesn't seem like an issue. And it shouldn't be, unless you're somebody who shorted that GameStop stock. GameStop stock. So, what is shorting? Shorting happens when an investor lends shares with the intention of giving them back, but then they sell those shares on, right? So, they'll sell those shares and then they'll buy them back later with the hope that those shares will be a lower fee so that they make some money in the process. This sounds very questionable. And if you can remember as far back as 2008, when the property market collapsed in on itself, something similar had happened. People had shorted stock because they were hoping that it would go down even further. And when the person asked for their stock back, you can sell it, make some money in the process, and the person gets their stock back. The problem is here with GameStop is that the share price didn't go down, it went up. As a result, hedge funds that had shorted the stock were now squeezed, and this is something called a short squeeze, where they now have to buy the stock back at a much higher price than for what they sold it, and they make a loss. One of the biggest losers in this whole event was a hedge fund called Melvin Capital, which was forced to close its short position on GameStop this week. How much it lost, however, is unclear. And this started a massive ball rolling. So first off, we had Wall Street Bets coming under scrutiny because obviously there are some bad apples within that subreddit, as they are in every subreddit on Reddit. And folks started saying, oh, they're alt-right people and et cetera, et cetera. That sort of kind of waned down that call. And these folks are now being treated like heroes because what they have essentially done is they have played Wall Street's game and they've come out on top because they have the massive power of the internet behind them. This morning I checked, the Wall Street Bets subreddit has 5 million users.
Yesterday it had 3.5.
Yeah, so in a day it's gone up 1.5 million users. And when
for someone who uses Reddit, there's that kind of growth is unheard of. Even the biggest subreddits only get a few thousand, maybe 10,000 every day. Reddit hasn't talked about it yet, but I'm pretty sure this is a record for growth. Sorry, I just want to give some context.
And this is not mentioning that that subreddit was actually made private this week because it was just attracting so much attention. It's back up now, and you can go and visit it and browse through the memes. And I will just warn you that there are a lot of insider jokes. Go in there with an open mind. If you're easily offended, maybe avoid it.
Yeah, they call people a slur for people with mental handicaps. That's thrown around a lot. So if you don't want to see that, don't go there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not abiding by it. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that that's that subreddit's culture, and I don't fully understand it, but that doesn't give me a right to comment on it. Anyway, where were we? Because this story is very convoluted.
Well, you're just getting to the part where the hedge funds lost their money.
Yeah. Okay. So all the hedge funds started losing their money, and as a result, a few brokerage apps and brokerage firms said that they were no longer going to sell GameStop shares. Okay, which was odd because why would you stop that? Why would you stop people from trading stock? A lot of people claim this as market volatility, though I think that that's a bit of a BS excuse. Yeah, Clinton?
So, yes, and you're probably going to get to that, but I just want to, again, give some context. The reason they've given, they weren't just silent. They didn't just remove it and then say nothing. We'll also get to Robinhood in a second. But the quote-unquote reason is that the market was so volatile that they wanted to protect their customers by not letting them exercise their freedom to spend their money how they like. That was their excuse.
Brilliantly summed up. So, Clinton mentioned Robinhood. Now, Robinhood is a very popular brokerage app that is available for iOS and Android. And it's so popular because it's a no-fee brokerage app, and that allows you to kind of trade stocks on your own accord. You don't need to go through a middleman. You can do it on your own, right? If I want to buy shares in Apple, I can use Robinhood and do that. Or rather, I would have. Because yesterday, Robinhood made the decision to stop the sale of 13 stocks that it thought were volatile. Among those was GameStop, BlackBerry, AMC Entertainment, and American Airlines. Now, I know for a fact that Wall Street Bets had looked at BlackBerry and AMC as well as GameStop. I don't know about the others, but considering Robinhood's response, I would think that perhaps the subreddit had said, hey, go and buy stocks in these. So they decided that they were just going to stop trading. And that was their first mistake. Maybe not their first, but that was a big mistake this week. Because since then, a lawsuit has been filed against Robinhood, claiming that its actions rigged the market against its customers. In addition to that, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is the New York Democrat representative, tweeted out saying that this is unacceptable. We now need to know more about Robinhood's decision to block retail investors from purchasing stock while hedge funds are freely available to trade stock as they see fit. Agreeing with AOC is Ted Cruz. So I just want to put this into context. If Ted Cruz is agreeing with AOC, you're done messed up, and you're done messed up badly if you have Republicans and Democrats agreeing with each other. I think even Donald Trump Jr. agreed with the sentiment that something is up and they need to be looked at. So, I mean, this is just bizarre, but it's about to get even more bizarre, right? So this yesterday, well, last night when I went to bed, everybody was still laughing at memes about how the billionaires were being screwed over by the man in the street, and everybody was having a good time. This morning I woke up to a deluge of tweets about Dogecoin. Now, Dogecoin was launched in 2013 as a bit of a joke in response to the amount of altcoins that were being released at the time. It's based on the Doge meme. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm just going to say Doge, which features the cute Shiba Inu dog. And while it hasn't had much success, that changed yesterday when Wall Street Bets decided, hey, everybody invest in Dogecoin. Let's get it to $1 per coin. As of time of recording this podcast, the 24-hour change in Dogecoin is 245%, reached a high in the last 24 hours of $71.86. Currently, you can buy a Dogecoin for 4 cents, which is, it doesn't sound like a lot, but compared to where it was yesterday, 24 hours ago, it was at 1 cent. That's a sizable increase for a cryptocurrency. That is really a joke. And that puts us to where we are right now, which is, this is continuing on. The Wall Street Bets subreddit is currently, I'm going to say asleep, because it's still nighttime in the US. But yeah, I want to kind of discuss this. What do you guys think of this whole affair? Let's start with you, Robin.
So I thought it was really interesting that Wall Street, and I think Nancy Pelosi also, that's the U.S. Speaker for the House, Nancy Pelosi, she said that the SEC, which is the Securities and Exchange Commission in the U.S., are going to have a look into this whole situation, which seems really odd, because the whole reason why this became news is was the fact that a simple subreddit was able to gamble against the market and won. I think that's a big reason. The fact that for quote unquote layman or everyday person on the street was able to beat Wall Street at its own game, that has now sent a whole bunch of warning lights off for the Wall Street execs, because now they're seeing that their potential power is being wrestled away from them. And I also find it very interesting with regards to the different stocks that Robinhood chose to ban, because with perhaps the exception of BlackBerry, most of the stocks are companies that are struggling as a result of COVID-19. GameStop did, AMC, which is handles theaters in the US, for example, along with their whole TV programming side of the business. It's just the fact that it seems like they are framing volatile stocks as ones that were impacted by COVID-19.
Yeah.
And the heroes, as we're calling them from the subreddit, they could also do the same thing they did with GameStop, with those other stocks. And it seems like now they're trying to put up as many hurdles as possible to stop it from happening again. It seems like they want to stop. They don't want this to become a precedent for something bigger, something larger.
Yeah. So that's a good point, Robin. But yeah, sorry, can I cut you off? Carry on.
Yeah, so I want to clarify something here, because I was speaking to some people and they seem a bit confused. What these people did, the subreddit, is first of all, as far as what all the experts I've read, not illegal, first of all. It's not dubious, well, to the extent of trading stock is. Mm-hmm. All they did is played the same game that the people on Wall Street did. And I can summarize this whole thing. There are so many summaries of this going around, because it is complex, right? I think there's a very complex system, and I think the people in charge try and make it complex. I don't want to get too we the people here, but they do make it complex so the poors like us can't get into it. We're not the billionaires. They don't want us there. Here's the thing, right? They've been doing this as long as stocks have existed. They've been going into back rooms and deciding stuff like this all the time, and then they buy or sell and become millionaires or billionaires. Even though the American, it's funny that we're talking about the American politicians, they do it too, because for some reason, the American politicians who can make the laws and affect the market can also buy stocks to profit off of that. That's a whole nother story for another day. Like I said, it's a complex story. Here's the big summary. This subreddit did what those shady people were doing in the back rooms, and the people in the back rooms now who have lost a tiny pittance of their wealth are very angry about that.
Mm-hmm.
They are so angry that they've lost a tiny sliver, just a tiny sliver. Their hands have slipped an iota off of the controls. They are absolutely fuming. And it's hilarious to me, like I think both of you said that, used the exact word hilarious, that this is happening. And what's also hilarious to me is that there are so many quote-unquote experts, these, you know, the shady people in the back rooms have turned on the light so they can be interviewed by media houses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the backdrop of those calls, those people are living, they're not living in mansions. They're living in palaces. They are living in castles. It's hilarious. Some of them have really weird camera angles. I can't remember who it was. It was some hedge fund. I was going to use an expletive there. Some hedge fund guy. And he had a really weird angle for his camera. And I was like, why is it so weird? It's too high where it's kind of like pointing at the top of his head instead of his face. And I found out because somebody posted a different interview he did where it's more face on. And this guy's whole house must be made out of marble and gold. I don't think there was anything in the frame that was worth less than like $1,000.
Gee.
So yeah, to oversimplify everything, people with less money do what the rich people do. Now the rich people are angry. That's the summary of the whole thing. And if you want to find out, there are so many articles about this, not just from us, but about what happened, what the terms are, the simplification of those terms. If you want to buy, here's how to do it and not use Robinhood. If you want to sell, here's how to do it. If you want to find out what cryptocurrency is, go find out. There are so many articles coming out right now, but that's the best simplification I can give you. Rich people mad.
I think that's a really important point that you raised there, Clinton, is that I think what we're seeing now is the democratization of this knowledge. I don't know about you guys. Have you, either of you watched The Big Short?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
was also quite complicated. I mean, I know they tried to make it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
But not even Margot Robbie in a bathtub can actually
absolutely
help me understand what was going on.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that was really difficult to grasp as regards the collapse of the property market in 2008 was that, like, folks like us, and I mean, I'm not a financial expert. I've spent all week trying to wrap my head around what has been going on here, trying to understand what a short is. What is a short squeeze? What is a short position? Why do people short? What are the benefits of it? All this sort of stuff. And it's taken me a full week to get a basic understanding of what happens on the stock market. And this is just for the buying and selling of shares and short. Like, there's way more to unpack as regards the financial systems. But what I think we're starting to see, or what this week has showed us, is that this sort of stuff can be democratized and made as simple as, we think this is a good stock, invest in it, buy it now. Like, and I think that it goes without saying here, we speak about this with cryptocurrency, but if you're going to invest, never invest more than you're comfortable losing. And as it turns out, these hedge funds invested more than they were comfortable losing because they're not very happy.
There's lots of talk about them getting bailed out. Now,
yeah,
when we say bailed out, we don't mean by the government, although it might come to that. They basically mean like getting a loan from another hedge fund or another company. It hasn't come to government bailouts yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, because in America and by extension, a lot of countries in the West, and I include South Africa, even though we're not in the West, we still use many of their market systems. It's, what's the saying? Capitalism for everybody else, but socialism for the rich.
Yeah.
So if it comes to government bailouts, I wouldn't be surprised.
So I think it's more emotional than financial, though, because
100%.
Because these guys are essentially pushing big numbers around on a screen. They have no idea of the real value that they are pushing around.
Hmm.
It's the fact that they lost to a bunch of Redditors sitting behind their screen. That's the big issue, I think, that they lost this time. And it wasn't some guy with an Ivy League education that understands high finance.
Yeah,
that knows Reddit.
Like I said, they make these systems complex for a reason. They want you to believe that you're only going to get in if you're a millionaire and you have a degree from an Ivy League, yada, yada, yada. Because they were trying to stop exactly this from happening, from us getting into their clubhouse.
So something I also just want to mention, because it's kind of funny. So I mentioned The Big Short film, and in that movie, there's Christian Bale stars as Michael Burry. And Michael Burry's name and his investment firm, Scion Asset Management, actually capitalized on this GameStop stuff. So in September, he or his firm owned 1.7 million shares in GameStop, which were worth $17 million at the end of September. This week, the value of those shares surged to $271 million. That's a 1,500% gain for those keeping score. Now, I'm not saying that maybe we should all watch what Michael Burry does and emulate him, but man's been right twice now. I think we should maybe start taking financial advice from him. Also, he has really great taste in music, so I don't know. I'm not an investor. I shouldn't be giving advice, but yeah, maybe just keep an eye on what Michael Burry is doing. But this kind of, you guys have kind of led me to the next point I want to make, is that in the piece I penned earlier today, I spoke about how what Reddit has taught its most important lesson to us this week, and that is that if we all band together, we can do some pretty incredible things. Because the only reason that this entire situation is playing out the way it's playing out is because one subreddit with a couple of million users decided, let's buy that stock, and the price surged because of those couple million people. Now, maybe I'm thinking a bit too airy-fairy here and a bit too esoteric and thinking, hey, what happens if we all just get along? But I think that things like this, and maybe by extension, the global pandemic, because something that I feel kind of gets lost in the ongoing pandemic is how all the world's governments who can't agree on a damn thing all decided lockdowns and masks are a good thing. We can all agree on that. Let's do it. But, I mean, when it comes to things like universal basic income, you know, I don't think we can really do that. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like something that's really viable. But this sort of thing with Wall Street Bets kind of shows me that, hang on, you know, if we take, like, if we say, if we use our power as people, as 7 billion people, what else could we really accomplish here? Like, I don't know. Am I thinking a bit too airy-fairy here, guys?
I think what you're talking about is called a revolution. When the I'm not joking. It's when the people amass in the street and storm the buildings of the oppressors. And if people think I'm saying that as a joke, I'm not. Because people are dying in the streets because the rich people don't give a damn about us. And so, Brendan, what you're talking about is just, you know, maybe be better to our neighbors. Maybe, you know, together we can fight for a better world. But at the end of the day, this is what's probably going to happen in a few months, right? After all of this passes, the American government, which is mostly controlled by the companies who lobby the Congress people, they'll probably pass some laws which prevent this from happening again. I'm almost sure that what's going to happen is that they'll pass some kind of law where to do speculative trading and retail trading, you need to be an incorporated company that has $1 million or something like that. And that will effectively stop this from ever happening again. Something like that. They'll just change the law so this doesn't happen again. And they'll allow the rich to do what they want to do, and they'll make it literally illegal for the rest of us to do it. And that's how it's been since the dawn of humankind.
Mm.
Yeah, we're talking some big ideas here.
Yeah, Robin?
I was going to say, I just tend to side with Clinton on that. Just in terms of taking a more cynical view, I would love for this to have been a nice shot across the bow, Wall Street, and just kind of say, hey, don't treat your people like idiots. But unfortunately, I think they're going to stamp this out very swiftly. And that's probably the most unfortunate part of it.
For me, this whole thing has given me a slice of hope in a week that has been increasingly feeling hopeless. The reason I say this is earlier this week, Daily Maverick published a fantastic investigative report into spending by the Gauteng Department of Education, in which the reporters discovered that 431 million rand had been spent on sanitizing of schools in 3 months. That in and of itself doesn't sound too bad. However, once you dive into the report, you start to see that that number seems a little bit too high for what was given. And I'm going to be honest here, I read that report, and the further I went into it, the angrier I got. Further to that, the State Security Agency said that there was 9 billion in spending that it couldn't account for. 500 billion in a relief fund here in South Africa has been siphoned up through corruption. You see all these things, and you start to get really hopeless about the situation. And then something like Wall Street Bets and GameStop happens, and you start to kind of see what happens when people work together. And I want to stress here, we're talking about revolution and stuff. What we saw happening at the Capitol building in earlier this month in the US, that's generally what people think of when you have a revolution. Storm the Bastille and bring down those in power. But what Wall Street Bets did is something that is not violence. They played the game just like everybody else, and everybody's starting to question the systems that drive these financial markets. And it lends itself to thinking, hey, maybe we as a group of people can stand up as a collective and say, hey, enough is enough. This needs to stop. You need to be held accountable. You need to, how we do that, though, is something that I can't even imagine at this point in time. But I do think that as a society, we live in a society. I think as a society, we should be looking at what Reddit is showing us is possible. And this is not just for Wall Street Bets, though. I think that the power of Reddit has been underplayed for many, many years. How many times has a game developer or publisher changed tack based on a wider conversation that's happening through Reddit? Sure, it happens on other social media, but Reddit is the front page of the internet for a reason. The communities are strong, and when those communities get behind a cause, it's like a boulder rolling down a hill. You cannot stop it. Sorry, somebody wanted to say something.
I was just going to make a joke. I was going to say Reddit together strong. another thing I want to add, like you said, when you use the word revolution, you either think France or Russia. And what happened in both times? There was a lot of beheading. Yeah. So maybe the next time we have a big revolution in the world, maybe it can be more peaceful, and we can have a peaceful transfer of power that happened in America, even though I thought it wasn't going to. So yeah, it also gives me hope that if there's a massive change, it doesn't need to come with just a widespread death.
Yeah,
because like I said, that's usually what preceded revolutions. And in the old days, it was kind of required. You're not going to remove El Presidente from his office unless you get through the guard. So, you know, here's hoping. I'm not saying we should or it's going to happen. I'm just saying people shouldn't die. Human life is thrown away all the time for no reason. Hopefully it's not so bloody the next time it happens. And it will happen. You know, maybe not in our lifetimes, but things will change eventually, because a lot of stuff happens on Earth, but rarely things stay the same for long.
I just want to close on something before we begin whining too much. As of 2018, there were 2,825 billionaires in the world. There's a lot more of us that aren't billionaires. And I think that we need to start really thinking about how much power we as the non-billionaires, as the folk in the streets, the normies, whatever you want to call yourselves, I think we really need to start considering how much power we as a society have. And like Clinton says, it's not about getting violence. It's not about storming the Bastille, but it's about standing up and saying, listen, my voice counts, especially when that voice is being added to a couple billion more voices. We go on and on about how much social media has too much power, about how much presidents have power, how much folks like Bill Gates have all this power. But I mean, at the end of the day, the only power that they really seem to have is the influence that their money brings them. And if you take that away, what really do they have? I mean, sure, Bill Gates is a bright fella, but if you take his money away, what is he really? He's just another nerd like the rest of us, you know, that eats burgers from a really bad-looking burger place. I think that maybe 2021 is the year where we all need to look a bit inwards and go, well, sure, I'm just I'm 0.1% of the global population. But that comes with a bit of power. And hopefully that gives you a bit of hope, because it gave me some hope this week. And I was down in the dumps thinking, oh, we're never going to come out of COVID with any sort of semblance of normalcy or like with any sort of economy or ability to earn money or anything. And the rich are just getting richer off of it. So, yeah, hopefully Wall Street Bets is a way for us to see that things aren't hopeless, and we the people have a bit more power than the others would have us let on. Anybody do you guys have some closing thoughts?
You guys think you could take Bill Gates in a fight?
I don't know. Dude can do a standing jump over a chair.
He could probably do a mean flying kick that might catch me by surprise, and I'll drop like a sack of potatoes. Maybe I hadn't considered his massive vertical leap.
But yeah,
don't gamble money you can't lose. Read the news, stay informed, and I suppose what's the saying? Stay angry, but stay safe as well.
Yeah, please
don't do anything dumb.
Robin.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be as hopeful as my colleagues on this podcast, but well, one of the great quotes that I love to use from the early days of Epic Mealtime is, you got fat, or we starved in the streets. Now it's our turn. Unfortunately, I'm not too sure it's going to happen just yet. I would love to be proved wrong, and hopefully this kind of sparks some kind of chain reaction. And greater scrutiny falls on Wall Street than it does on the Redditors that have kind of done this. Because that's really where the attention needs to be. The SEC shouldn't be investigating the Wall Street Bets subreddit and its users and what they did. It should really be investigating the Wall Street guys, because they did it first.
Exactly. And
they just got beaten at their own game.
Nowhere in the world can I lend something from somebody, sell it, and then give it back, buy it back, and then give it back to them. But on Wall Street, that seems to be okay. And that needs to change.
It's grifting with a Series 7 license. That's what
And I think on that pure golden nugget, we'll call it a day. Thanks so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again next week. From myself, Brendan Lodge, cheerio. From Clinton Matos.
Bye, everybody.
And from Robin Lichetti.
Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.